Welcome to the OFX podcast. I'm Dave Claxton. Along with me, as always, is the princess of prognostication, Bethany McChesney. And
Prognostication.
Tara Jackson. Tara freaking Jackson.
Miss Jackson, if you're nasty.
Oh, going back to the roller skating days. I remember those. I had that tape. I was going to say a lot. I had that tape.
Oh, I think that came out before I was born.
Yeah, that makes sense. I would have been like 10, I think, something like that.
Oh yeah, definitely before I was born then.
Yeah.
Many moons.
How old are you? How old are you? I'm 11.
I turned 33 last week.
Oh my God. Yeah, so I'm like 15 years older than you. Like a decade and a half.
Yeah. How old are you, Bethany?
39.
Okay. So, creeping up masters.
Yeah, I'm almost there.
Yeah.
Your master's in CrossFit. Because
you'll have found their race that but that they put down in Wilmington. It's a 5K. It's called the Wilma Dash. It's like breast cancer thing. Mm-hmm. But the women get to start 2.5 minutes before the men, and the first person to cross the finish line wins, but they also have master's money.
Sweet.
Yeah. And a free place to stay.
I like master's money. I'm against age group money. Unless it's done properly.
Depends on how big it is.
Well, if it's done where you don't get to choose to be your age group elite, then I'm okay with it. But if it's just you get to choose like the way Spartan was, then I don't like it because you get sandbagging.
Oh, yeah. But I did like that Spartan at one point was doing like, I think one year when I went to West Virginia, they had like these buckets where like if you won age group, you got like a flag and a bucket and like a sandbag. Like they did like honor the age group people who won North American whatever with something, even if it's not money. I feel like High Rock should do that. Like they should do something for like age group people, like even if it's not obviously not money, but
they did. The first one that I did in Chicago in 2019 or 2020? I age group podiumed and they gave me like a bit of merch. I got a case of that really gross salty water that used to be their sponsor. And then I forget something else, like a t-shirt or something.
You ready for this? This is a website here, and that race was Chicago in January 2020.
2020, yeah.
Yeah, and you ran. Do you want to know your time?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Right. I know what it was.
All right. We won't tell you your time. But yeah, there's like an app actually, My High Rocks results, and you like put in your name and every result you have comes up.
But to be fair, Bethany, even if your time is bad, the sleds were way harder back then and there was an actual rock zone that was longer. Like, I think now a lot of the races are 8K. Like, I remember when we did Chicago in 2021, it was 8K plus the rock zone was, like, fucking a mile long.
Yeah.
Like, the rock zone was, like, 7 minutes, but they didn't account for, like, the run. Yeah. I mean, I think in the right direction with, like, okay, well, the run plus the rocks is, like, the total distance. But I don't know if they just don't know how to measure in places that aren't the U.S. Because I'm not being biased, but I feel like any of the races that I've seen in the U.S., I don't see these, like, crazy run times that I've seen, like, in a few races in Europe and then, like, the race in the Middle East.
There was one race in Dallas where I think it was right after Kent came off of Chicago. And then went down to Dallas, and it wasn't this year. And also, and he had like a all of a sudden a 55, like a killer time. It was the second fast time ever. And Dylan had a PR that day. I mean, it was a lot. I think that was a course, probably the fastest course in the States.
Was it from the run? Or was it just the sleds moved good that day?
I can't recall exactly like the breakdowns. All I know is it seemed like a lot of people went fast.
Okay.
So I think that was a quick course, but it wasn't, again, it wasn't ridiculously quick, but it was quick.
Yeah, we don't see sleds times like we used to, like where it used to take people 7, 8, 9 minutes.
Kurnikoff in 9 minutes, like someone that strong.
They're not. I don't know what they changed, but well, now they have the new sleds, and Dylan said those sleds are even easier than the sleds before. So I'm all about that life, though. So they can make them as easy as they want.
So before it used to be, they would put, what is it? I think it's 400 pounds for the men pro, somewhere around there, 409, 402, some odd number. That used to be the weights they put on top of the sled. So you would have that plus the weight of the sled. Now they include the sled into the weight. So they only put on enough weights to include the sled with it. So you could be dropping, theoretically, the sled could be
75 pounds. Most of them are like
75 pounds less.
So when did they start doing that?
I want to say last year, the year before, something like that.
Because I know when I did my first one in 2021, like, I legitimately didn't think I was going to be able to push it.
Yeah.
And I'm not small. Like, those sleds were fucking heavy. I mean, they were heavy. Hmm. I'll keep it PG.
Why? We don't. Fuck that shit.
Okay, good.
I legitimately couldn't move the sled pole in my first one.
I really wish there was a video of that.
What? Why?
Because I just would like to see how angry you got.
Yeah, there are some pictures of my face.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I know, and still I feel like they have trouble with, like, making all the sleds, even in the same venue, the same. Because I don't know if you know Marcus Frisson.
Yeah.
But he got a sled that his sled just wouldn't move. And he's like a strong guy. And I think the sled pull took him like 9 minutes or something. Like it was just getting stuck.
Megita said he ran into that one day too, where he was feeling good, got to the pushing the sled, and he said, and it just stopped. And by the time he got done, he said there was no reason to finish the race. He was already out of it.
That happened to me in LA. Yeah. I did like a sled push. Like if you could have seen the live feed, I don't know if you did or not. Hopefully not, because it was awful. I was trying everything to move the sled. I had like my hands on the front bars, like trying to like hug it and get my, like, I don't know. I just couldn't move it. So I was just trying straight arms, bent arms, hugging it. Weird stuff. And then it like totally messes up the rest of your race, where you're just like really mentally defeated after you push like a 5.5, 6 minute sled.
Mm-hmm. I've said before that they should have like carpet runners on the bottom of the sled and not on carpet, and that way it just goes across regular concrete or whatever the floor is, and that way you don't get bunching up of carpet and ruts and stuff to stop you and jam you up. But like
the floor makes a bigger factor where you are.
Really, okay. Realistically though, the floors in most of those places are either polished concrete or very smooth or whatever. They're really smooth, and the sled should be fairly consistent. And I don't care if it's consistent from race to race anyway, because it's not already. As long as it's consistent from one to beside the other one, right?
Yeah.
And I think that would accomplish that.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Because in the same venue is like way more of an issue than like, I mean, there's still like this, you have to qualify by time kind of deal. But if I'm actually like racing you in the same venue, it like sucks if you are at a, you know, you're literally racing the other person, but then you just get a shitty sled and, it like kind of puts you out of the race.
Okay. So what's worse, getting a shitty sled or the person you're racing getting a shitty judge and the wall balls?
Well, I'm not focused on the people doing their wall balls, so I would say getting a shitty sled. Hmm. But like, they could be doing, like, I'm not looking at somebody and they're not messing up my head game watching them do bad wall balls. But if you're plus it's so early too that you're like, it messes the whole mental kind of deal. But
I think honestly, the wall ball thing would piss me off so much, because if the person beside me had the judge that was letting it go and they weren't going to depth, I know from experience that going to RX1, when I've seen me or someone that I'm rooting for doing it right, and then the person beside them doing it wrong, and the judge just going, "Yep, good, good, good." Oh, I just like
But
freaking.
when you're, are you actually watching the person next to you doing wall balls?
You've seen me. I'm on the rower. I'm watching everybody. I'm checking everything out.
Okay.
Yeah, but if you
Well,
turn your head in wall balls, it hits you in the face.
yeah.
I
I take
did
a lot of
notice
hurts.
in my burpee broad jumps, though, is like that too. And you do notice because if someone flies by you and their hands are way ahead of their feet when they're going down, or they're stepping way in front of their hands, you notice that. I've had that happen.
And
Yeah.
yeah, I was going to say, Bethany can't say a word because we just re-listened to an episode the other day because we were showing, talking to Maria and Mike about it, saying they got to listen to this. And this happened to be one where Bethany had came back from Chicago and was very angry about the people she was racing against. So she was watching them.
Well, I say this though, I mean, obviously you should know the rules yourself, but if somebody is not calling you on it, you know, I mean, like I mean, I know at least for me for wall balls, I kind of like ride the line. My mobility is just not that good. So for me, I might think that I'm hitting depth, but maybe I'm not until somebody's like, "Oh, you got to go lower." I think that there's like a lot of gray, like if you were judging yourself area, but like that's what the judges are for, is to be like, no, you're not meeting the standard, like fix it. Because even that the when Hunter was doing that in Stockholm, I don't think he was intentionally like trying to cheat, he wasn't doing it to standard. And as long as the guy was not calling it, then he's gonna keep doing it that way.
Well,
So I
100%.
for a lot of athletes, it's like an intentional thing, like I'm trying to cheat. But if nobody's calling them on it, then it just sucks when you have that judge that's like,
That's gonna be me. It's
yeah.
funny, actually, I was talking to Anthony, Lauren's husband, and he and I decided if we end up judging any high rocks together, we're going to ruin the sport. People will be so mad.
I heard that there was a lot of controversy in, I think, Glasgow with the judges.
Really?
Yeah. Like, because I feel like there's also like this other, and I experienced this a lot in Spartan racing, where people like will be like these crazy people with the judging and like go beyond the standard. So like I distinctly remember in a Spartan race where I saw somebody set their bucket down. And a volunteer comes up to them and says, "That's 10 burpees."
What?
Yeah.
Just making
So,
shit.
like, I think that there could also be instances where like people are meeting the standard, but people are being like so overly critical. Like that's why we've talked about this. I don't like wall balls because it's like it's kind of hard to judge like depth for some people. But I don't know. That's
So
why I'm team.
I sent this picture, and I don't know. Did I send it to you? I think I sent it to you, Beth, or whatever. But it was of Miriam Von Rohr doing wall balls, and we all know Miriam is like an ace at wall balls. This is what she does. But because she has such ankle mobility, and I had a line go straight across, you could make the argument that she was not going to depth, and yet her butt was almost hitting the ground.
Really? And her quads are so big.
And her quads are so big, and you can't
That's
see that hip crease.
my quads are just so big, it looks like they're not below the crease of my
Beefy quads.
hip. But yeah, she's just fast because she's short.
Yeah. But I
Like,
mean, you would never look at hers and think, oh, that's a no rep because she is so low. But yet, if you go by the
her ankles.
standard, yeah, if you go by the CrossFit standard, you actually could argue it. And then, but if you go by, well, and I've said this before a couple times, a high rock standard just says hip below the knee. Well, the hip is huge, the knee is huge. What the hell does that mean?
Yeah.
You know,
Hip
like,
crease.
but it doesn't say hip crease. It says hip. CrossFit says hip crease. And even still, the hip crease, I don't like it. I still say I like bottom of the butt below the bottom of the knee. You actually won't be going quite as deep, but it's a way easier to judge.
Or the
Yes, we
box.
know the box. And you could put a sensor in the box along with the sensor on the target. And then you know for sure everything's a good rep.
I've heard that people don't like the sensors. They're actually pretty finicky.
I think it'll take time. I'm obviously no experience with it, so.
They just have them at the one race, so they'll have to work it out.
Yeah.
I think it's good for the long, I think for long term, I think it's a great idea.
So is there, I feel like at one point HYROX had like a counter, like a numbered counter. But just like malfunction all the time.
Yeah, because it was all Bluetooth and everything. And I think that's what worries me about the sensors too, is they're Bluetooth to a tablet, right? They're not hardwired. So it could screw up. I mean, anytime you got tech, it can screw up, right? Look at the rowers, they had that big issue, but.
So are they also counting though, or are they just completely relying on the things?
They are counting as well, and they can no rep from the tablet as well.
Okay.
But we'll see.
Do they have like a thing up like they used to have where you could see your reps? Because I know Dylan, he was a little upset because his judge was not wouldn't tell him what his reps were, and he dropped the wall ball at like 3 to go because he didn't know what reps he was on. He's like, "What rep am I on?" He's like, 3 left, and then Jared passed him by like 1 wall ball.
I talked to Dylan and I said I thought he had passed Jared. I thought he was going to win that, and then that happened. And
yeah, his $1,500 wall ball.
Yeah, and that would have been a big upset too. Like everybody had Jared walking away winning that.
And he did.
And he did.
But yeah, you know, I would have picked Jared, even though, you know, I love Dylan, but
yeah.
He's rookie king. And he was fresh. I mean, Dylan just came off of racing the night before, and not that that really means anything for him. Just another workout.
And Dylan was peaking so big at that time.
Yeah.
Like he was just, I mean, I hope he carries that through, but man, was he on fire.
Yeah, he crushed it.
So, all right. So we're going to talk about the LCQ last chance qualifier, but before we get too into it, and we'll do a little draft and we'll pick some people here. We won't do a huge one, but this is the LCQ, and the LCQ, the reason I'm really kind of hyped about this is how I think all majors should be, except that it should just be, the only difference would be 3 people selected each major.
Yeah.
So nice and fair instinct. So that's why I think this.
So then would you allow kind of like the majors though, where you can race again even when you're qualified and there still be prize money?
Yeah, and then you just roll down.
Okay.
Yeah, and I don't understand why the roll down to just 5. Like why it doesn't roll down to 6, I have no idea.
Then yeah, I think
you get 3 every race.
I think they should just make it, like you said, roll down. Because it is weird, like so Cologne will have 2 qualifiers for women and 1 qualifier for men.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have 3 in Anaheim and 2 for men and
no, Anaheim. Sorry. It's 1 for men in Cologne. Oh, sorry, one for men in Cologne, 3 for women.
And 3.
Then, yeah, and then 2 for men in Anaheim and 4 for women.
Oh, there's 7.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing. Yeah.
Okay. For whatever reason, I 5, but
yeah, I mean, we could look up and see who's qualified. That would be a professional thing to do.
It would be.
That doesn't sound like us. Where is it?
Now I need to think of my 3rd pick now. I only had 2 in my head.
All right, let's see here.
So I was discussing this with someone. What happens if somebody drops out of world championships? Would they take one of the last chance qualifiers from Anaheim, or would they take one from Cologne, or how would that work, you think?
I think, well, what do you think, Beth? I have an idea.
Well, maybe they would go between those and then the next fastest time. They're probably not going to fill it, though.
I feel like they always want to fill their 15 spots, though. Like, they're like, who can come because we don't have 14 people? Can you fly from Spain like 3 days before this? Like, insane.
So I'm looking here and I'm seeing what I see is there's 12 men qualified, but it's only listing 7 women, which, you know, if my math is correct, that leaves 8 spots, not 7 to fill.
What are the women that are on the list that are qualified?
We've got Michaela Norman, Lauren Weeks, Viola Oberlander, Vivian Tefuto, Rebecca Mason, Linda Meyer, and Lauren Griffin. So
I know. You didn't say Meg, did you?
No, they don't have her on here.
Yeah, Meg's the last one.
I wonder why she's not on that list. Okay, well, there you go. So there you go. So yeah, then I am right then from before. It's 3 and 4 for the women and 1 and 2 for the men. So we might as well say for the men. The men, we got qualified Hunter, Ryan Kent, Ryland Shedag, Bo Willis, Michael Sandbach, Dylan Scott, Alex Ronkovich, Paleo, Tim Weisnick, Tim.
Weinisch.
Thomas DeVerdick, Graham Holiday, and Rich Ryan. So those are the people who are qualified. So let's go with the people who are racing this weekend.
So
or
what do
so
you think?
We're told.
Possibility that there is a dark horse that takes a spot.
Like out of a different wave?
Potentially. Like, what about that girl who just won Copenhagen? She's like a 15-something 5K runner. Have you seen her, Bethany?
No.
She's a fucking boss. Like, I can't remember her name, but she won Copenhagen. She ran like a 104 or something. Like, so she has a fast, maybe she's not doing last chance qualifier. Maybe that's why she's not on there. But,
I'm going to look up Copenhagen right now, so.
I think she's like a 30, 32, 10K runner, something like that.
What?
She's fucking fast.
Laura Valgren?
What?
Is her name Laura Valgren from Denmark?
Yeah, I think that's her.
So here's her runs from Copenhagen. She won Copenhagen, like you said, a 4:03 to start, 3:37, 3:40, 3:37, 3:40, 3:38, 3:40, 3:55. Total run time 29:48.
So yeah, her 5K is 15:21 and her 10K is 32:19. She also holds the record. Where did you say she's from?
Denmark.
Denmark.
She holds the under 23 record for the half in 1:12:29.
Wow. That's
yeah.
a good runner.
She's a fucking boss. Like
16:24
like,
and
if runners could like learn to lift, she's gonna annihilate everybody. Like, but she's been doing CrossFit for like a while. So I don't know.
So she's
but
got a bit of strength too.
Yeah. And the times didn't look that fast in Copenhagen. Like, they were not like anything crazy. So who knows about the course? Is this the list?
This was from Copenhagen. So she beat Ida by 2 minutes.
Yeah.
That's not too shabby. And then Katie Simonson, she was 4 minutes ahead of her.
Katie ran a 108, so I mean, it definitely wasn't a fast course.
No, that was probably an average course, realistically.
You put her over in Dubai, she'd probably break an hour.
Well, don't let her go then, right?
Yeah, fuck her. She needs to stay away from Doha. That's my race.
But yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't think you'll see anybody jump in there. I mean, it's always a possibility, but I don't think it'll happen. I think it's not likely. But you never know. I also think that it's becoming more up in the air because when Hyrox first started, like we said, the sleds were terrible. It was a gong show. It was horrible. And it's not anymore. You
yeah.
Know? Like,
I think it's more attainable now for like runners to actually get into the sport, like where maybe before you needed that size to be able to move the sleds. But now it's just like, not that the sleds are like super light or anything, but I think it's attainable for an athlete that's only 120, 125 pounds, whereas before, maybe not.
Here's something. Sled push times now for Hyrox are getting to be similar as Deca tank push times.
2 minutes?
Yep.
Yeah, 2 minutes.
Yep. Some people are less. So like if you look at some of the stats from the doubles, you're seeing a lot of like 130s, 140s. Like is Hyrox heavy anymore?
I mean, Yeah, but Deca's half the distance.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, I'm not saying that it's Deca's still not heavy, but I'm saying it's High Rock not heavy. High Rocks was the thing. It was the heavy thing. It was the harder thing. Dude, but now it's and I mean it is what it is, but I think it's becoming more and more where, like you said, good runner can come in there and cause chaos.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Paleo, right? In 3 years ago, Paleo is not up in that category. Or Palayo.
I think it's Paleo.
Is it? I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah, and so you like take it to more of like you know, it makes the race completely different.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of the people that are in the top now, if you change the sleds back to the way they used to be, it completely changed the whole race.
And I think it's better now because I think it was too much chaos before.
And yeah.
Too much.
And nobody wants to watch an 8-minute sled push. Like, it's dumb.
Yeah.
I mean, right now, the biggest problem watching High Rocks is the ski erg in the row. It's like, oh, yeah. You're forever.
Well, I think the ski erg's early enough where you're still like hyped about the start. So then it's okay. But then the rower, it's like, oh, okay, well.
And with having the screen with the promoting, you know, okay, they're 500 meters in, they're 600 meters in, that helps a lot.
But yeah.
Without that, you're just kind of staring at who knows what rowing for who knows how long.
So. I kind of like that though, because it's like, who's going to come off first? But they all kind of row the same, because like rowing is not a station that you can gain much time. So it's kind of just like whoever comes in first is probably going to leave first.
Yeah. It's almost like who just recovers the best on it.
Yeah. Or who gets a rower that doesn't work.
I have seen rowers that are definitively different from the rower beside them.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've seen
it. What do you mean? Like, how are they different?
Like, they don't feel the same, right? Like, it can be on the same setting. The drag factor can be different. Everything can be off. So even if you're set in the same setting, it's been a pet peeve of mine. In hybrid races, I don't like the machines because I think they're inconsistent. I like them as the fact they help me, but I don't like them as a fact from a competitive standpoint. I think they're inconsistent.
That's fair. So if you take the machine away, I'm quitting hybrid.
Okay. So in order to get to this point, and we haven't had you on in a long time, Chair. So we went through the regular majors. Now we're on to the LCQ. Do you think that the system that High Rocks put in has been good, or has it been a problem?
Well, for me, I think that the best are always going to make it, no matter what system that you put in place. Like, the people who are at the top are going to make it regardless. So do I think that this system is better than the old system with discrepancy of courses? Yes, but I still think that it could be made better. Like, I liked the idea that you had, like, you have 5 major races and then top 3 from each race go and roll down to as how many places. Like, if you're on the last race and the top 6 have already qualified, then the next 9 or next 3, so the top 9. So you're always having an opportunity to race in, versus like, it sucks too, like with the variance of courses, if you don't get into the major, like, but you could theoretically maybe outrun, like, maybe Paleo was like, when he got into Chicago, I think he got a roll in. He got the last roll in spot.
Yep.
He wasn't going to be in the race, but then, you know, he went and got fourth. So like, I don't think, because the races are so inconsistent, that anytime you have like a time qualifier, it's not fair. So, because then arguably somebody who's good is not going to get in. So just let everybody in race, and then you just race for your spot.
Dylan
won DC on a roll down.
Mm-hmm.
But not supposed to be in DC. He got a long roll down too. I think he was like 26.
Yeah, 26 or 27. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, to be the North American champ and you weren't even supposed to be in the race, I mean, seems kind of a silly system to me.
Well, and that's the thing, right? Had more people agreed to go and he not got in there, then he maybe doesn't even end up going to Worlds. Not only not the North American champ, doesn't go to Worlds at all.
And I guess the way that it was set up too, I didn't like that. So if you were fifth, then you automatically got into the next major. So by the time you get to like the last few majors, like all the spots are actually already taken. You're just hoping for a roll down spot. So then for booking travel or trying to go to some of these races, financially it gets really expensive because you can't plan until the last minute. So for people who aren't like Meg, Lauren, and Linda, and you know, Vivian and the people who are at the top, you're just kind of like having to wait around. Or like I even bought my ticket for Vienna assuming that I would get in, and I just didn't get in. So, you know, I mean,
whereas if the majors were open, you'd know. Yeah. You'd be like, okay, I can book my tickets 6 months ahead of time
to plan for their race. Yeah. And I mean, I think that's a huge advantage too, that you can like, you know, I'm going to plan to peek at this race because I'm going to be in it. But if you don't know, then you have the opportunity to pick and choose which majors you go to. You're not just like, oh, well, I got into this one, I have to go. Like, if you're not ready, you can just like wait and train for the next one, or you're injured or whatever. So I feel like there's a lot less pressure on the athletes to get to every one. And like, if they're having races all year, it's like hard to stay in top peak position, condition. From basically, I guess the first major was in January.
Yeah.
No, November. Chicago was the first one in November. So from November until Nice in June. I mean, that's a long period of time where you have to be pretty primed to race, because you never have like a long stretch of like time to like deload, and you're always like trying to get ready for the next race.
All right. So Hyrox, you're wrong. You've heard it. Tara said it.
I said it.
And she agrees with us, so that makes her right.
Suck it, Hyrox. Change it.
All right.
Not going to Nice, but I am doing Thieves and Beggars with Alondra, which will be cool.
I haven't seen the workouts yet for Thieves and Beggars. What are the workouts for that?
They have like, I don't know, they have like a pig flip and like stuff with a yoke and partnered worm squat over your shoulders or something like that. I don't know. It's all like partner stuff.
So it's okay. So you and Alondra are a team for that.
Yeah. And no skill. I like, except toes to the bar, which I got to practice.
You got to go to camp with Bethany.
Yeah. Cause I got to synchronize them with Alondra, and you know, she does cross stitch. So she's probably real good at that stuff.
Oh man, that's harder.
It is harder too, because you can synchronize, like you watch them synchronize muscle ups, they get up there and they can just wait for the other person to get up there. Toes to bar, you can't pause at the top like that.
How do you know I can't? My ass is so strong, Dave. No.
I just see you there, just pause, defying gravity completely. Yeah. We're grunting it out.
Yeah, probably not. So I'm gonna have to work on getting that linked up with her. But I think it'll be fun to do something that, you know, is not like the same eight stations over and over and over again. That's, I feel like, going to be the downfall of like Deca and Hyrox, is people are just going to get bored with it.
I think that's why you need to do more than just it. You can't just do one of those things. Like, I get it if you're a high end pro, right? If you're trying to win the world championship, you just do that one thing. But if you just want to enjoy yourself and still be competitive, you mix it up a little bit and do a few other things.
But those people who enjoy themselves and want to be competitive, those are the ones who pay Hyrox and Deca's bills. So they need to make them like happy too, or otherwise the people who are in the pro aren't going to be doing it so long, because they're not going to like last as a company, because the main people who are bringing in all the money are bored.
Yeah, we say that, but I mean, everybody goes to a 5K run or a 10K run or that stuff. They keep going back.
Yeah,
mind
but
you,
I feel like
$50.
$50?
I don't know. What do you pay for a 5K?
$30.
Yeah, that's 50 Canadian.
Oh, yeah. Monopoly money. Yeah, but I feel like with the 5K, it's more like you can go do different stuff. A lot of them for charities. And a lot of 5Ks that are local don't get more than like 200 or 300 participants.
Yeah.
So they're not like big money generating And they also don't have a lot of cost. Mm-hmm. Like, IROX is really expensive.
Yeah, so, to put on and to pay for.
Yeah.
And, to run, like, those businesses, they need a lot of people to participate. Whereas, like, standalone 5Ks have very little, like, need. Like, maybe if you get 150 people, you break even. You get 200 people, then you make a little bit of profit, and it all goes to charity. So,
all right. So, Beggars and Thieves, we'll go back to the first second, then we'll do our little drafting. So, where and when is it?
So, it's in New Jersey the same weekend as Nice.
Ooh.
And that was one of the factors that made me decide not to go to LA, is because at the point I had committed to doing Thieves and Beggars, I wasn't sure that my knee was going to be ready. And I was like, eh, whatever. Then I'm just not going to go to Nice. So then I won't go to LA. And then as my knee's gotten better, I'm like, well, maybe I can race. And then I saw that Doha had like $7,000 for like first. And I was like, no, tickets are only like a grand. So why not? I'm going to go try.
Good odds.
Yeah. And I was thinking, well, definitely anybody that's running LA is not going to be there. I can't imagine Meg or Lauren or anybody from the U.S. is going to go 4 weeks before Nice all the way over to Doha. So maybe the only, and I thought that maybe some of that people, because I have a list of like people that are going to Last Chance from that they sent me out. And some, a lot of people are going to both. So mm-hmm. if they get into Cologne, they're going to go to L.A. So I figure, you know, there's just probably not going to be as heavy as competition there. I'm rolling the dice. If I get third, then I make a little bit of money and pay for my trip. So
there you go.
If I get third, then I'm real happy. If I get fourth, then, oh, well, I'll go enjoy Doha for a week and it'll be fun.
Awesome. All right. Let's start this. We got to pick who picks first. Rye is thinking of a number between 1 and 3. Tara, what is it?
3.
It was 3. Wow. Okay, you're first. Beth, you want to go second? Because I don't care.
Sure.
So I don't know if I've ever done a draft. You pick girls and guys at the same time, or are we gonna do
anyone?
Girls?
Yeah.
Yeah, anyone you want. So you get first pick, then it'll go down to Beth. Then I'll go and I'll get 2 picks, then it'll come back up to you. You'll get 2 picks. So we'll do 5 picks each.
Can you share that screen with the people?
Hold on. I'll send it to you real quick on your phone.
I actually know. I'm going to butcher his last name, though. So
all right, you're going to go first, then?
But wait, there's one man's spot and 3 women's spots?
Yes, but that doesn't matter for what we're doing.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
All right, I'm going to go Luke, however you pronounce his last name. Luke Strathos, something like Storath. That.
Lucas
Storath.
Storath?
Yep, going with Lucas.
He has been, well, so he's the guy that's going to take it out hot.
I think that if he like runs within himself first like 3 stations, then he can take it. I mean, he's still finished fairly well. He just crapped out on the wall balls. He held his own okay till the lunges, and then he kind of died.
He should have got a penalty for those lunges because he threw the bag down.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah. He thought he was done, and I don't know if his judge couldn't have told him his dad's done because the judge yelled at him.
Oh, yeah, but then he picked it back up and did more.
Well, he had to do a whole nother length.
Yeah.
Because that was what was left, but he should have got like a, I think it's a 5-meter penalty for putting the bag down. Remember, actually, it was Katie Knight who got DQ'd for dropping the bag.
Yeah.
And then they changed the rule to the first time he set it down as a penalty, the next time to DQ, which I still think is dumb. Just let people set it down. Who cares? There's no advantage. It just slows you down.
Yeah.
You can, but maybe, set down.
Maybe his judge told him he was done. Maybe his judge fucked up.
No, because as soon as he set it down, the judge was yelling at him to pick it back up. Yeah, but it doesn't make sense to me. You can set the farmer's carry down. You can stop on the sleds. You can stop. You can set the wall ball down. You can do everything else, but not the lunges. You can't set that bag down. It doesn't make any sense.
The only time I think it does make sense is when you're doing doubles.
Yeah, because you don't want to have, you don't want people passing it forward to their partner.
To like toss it forward a bit. Yeah.
Or like tell them too, like I could see maybe one of their issues is like people just put the bag down in the middle of the lane and then they're like blocking traffic. Like say if you're gonna put like
Maybe
move to
that's it. Or dropping it behind them off their back and not looking.
for safety.
You could say
Yeah.
the same thing about the farmer carry too, though, and that's okay.
You don't
Actually,
throw it behind you, though.
no, but you could set the weights down and then get in people's way kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. Did y'all see that video
I
of,
was gonna ask you, yeah.
see, that's the thing, too. They should make some kind of rule where you get a penalty if you're doing doubles and you're walking beside your doubles partner.
So this is what we were talking about before, but
Behind them. Like when I was in Manchester, I was watching the doubles and it was absolute chaos. Like it was like mosh pit of people lunging. So like if you're not like directly behind your partner, then like you're in somebody else's way.
burpees, farmer carry, lunges right behind your partner. Like Cole nearly ran that dude over. Like
Oh,
he was flying.
that was great.
Yeah, and he was in the right. You know, he was totally in the right. That guy should not have been standing there.
Yeah.
We were talking about this the other day with like race etiquette and track etiquette and blocking lanes and stuff. Like,
Track etiquette kills me. It's like people are just, ugh.
what would you think if they changed the rule at High Rock? What would you think if they changed the rule at High Rocks from the fast lane and the slow lane? You know, if you're fast going the inside, if you're slow going the outside, to just stay on the outside. Everybody's on the outside except to pass. Then you go inside to pass and come back out.
No, I don't like that.
Ah, screw you.
I don't like that. It's very weird. It's like I'm thinking about like, no, I don't like that. Because then if you get too far on the outside and there's too many people, then it's going to be hard for you to get out. I don't know. I don't like that. Plus, then if you're running on the outside, so think about this, Dave. When you run around a track, every lane that you run out is 1.5 seconds per per 400. So then where would you measure the course? If you're measuring at the outermost lane, then people who are running on the inside are actually cutting the course.
I see. I
Yeah,
don't know.
so I don't think that would work because you got to measure the course. Maybe that's what the people in Dubai were doing. They were measuring the outside of the course instead of actually the inside, or not measuring at all. I don't know, but like,
Just randomly pacing it out.
yeah, but
Seems
like
all
if
right.
like if you're not measuring from the innermost point, like over the course of, 8K, you could probably accumulate like 200, 300 meters, who knows? Like maybe even more, depending on how far out the course is.
What do you think the odds are when it comes to Toronto? They'll let me walk around with a wheel.
I mean, I don't understand why all the races don't have a wheel.
I think
Like,
they
do
do. They
they have a
should.
wheel? How else do they measure it besides a wheel? Are they counting their steps? Like,
I would assume they do have a wheel, but it's them measuring it, right? So I'm like, me as a completely third party outside non-employee kind of deal. I wonder if they would actually let me. You know, I would love to go in there, measure the wheel, count the plates and the weight on the sleds, do all that stuff, but I don't think there's any way they'll let me do it.
so my boyfriend told me that whenever they have a world record, like they have to ratify the course before, and they also have to ratify the course afterwards. So they, well, obviously, this is why I don't think Hyrux is a real sport. They needed to ratify for course records. They should ratify the course afterwards too, and remeasure the course and make sure that it was all like, kosher, because otherwise, like, you get like 53-minute times, and like they're going to be impossible to beat unless like the course is also short again.
Yeah, we won't even talk about DECA records.
I will say at least DECA. I've never run a DECA fit. I mean, I don't know about the gym events. Those are like Wild West, but I've never ran a fit where I was like, man, that course was so much different than any other course I've ran.
Agreed. The fit completely. The only thing I've ever seen with the fit, and I don't understand this, is sometimes the farmer's carries is a little different, and I don't get that. But
Yeah.
other than that, yeah, they're almost.
For Hyrux, the farmer's carry is always different.
Yeah, I know.
So, I mean, I don't know.
All right. Well, we've managed to get one pick in. We're doing great.
So I was gonna say though, to add to the point of like the rectifying courses, so I've organized road races before, and there is one man in Ontario that does courses. And if you want to have like a legitimate course where you could have records, it's the same man. And his name is Bernie Conway.
Once you rectify the course once, just like a Boston qualified course, you don't have to rectify it again. But if there's a record broken on that course,
then he'd then come back.
Yes. So yeah. It's not like the time you put on the race, he has to come out.
Yes, he does.
He does.
Yeah.
I've never heard of that.
But. No, not during the race, but in order to have it be an official distance, he has to come out and measure it. Every so it's one man, and that's his job.
But like every single time they run the race?
No.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You get a certificate, essentially.
Yeah, so it's rectified once.
Yeah.
And then as long as they don't make any changes to the course, say you ran the world record for the 5K on this course that he rectified,
yeah,
he would then need to have to come back and rectify it again. But he doesn't have to rectify the same course every year that you run the race.
Correct.
Yeah. So,
this is a job for me in hybrid. I want this job.
So then you would have to go to every venue and you would measure it and you would say, yes, this is exactly accurate.
As long as I'm getting paid, I'm fine.
The same person's job.
As long as I'm getting paid, I'm fine with it.
I mean, if there was one in the U.S., there's only like 10 to 12 races per year. So that'd be Dave's only job.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, except if you were doing DECA, because then there's like 12 races every weekend. You'd have to be in 12 spots at once.
Can't do those. Those are like, there's too many.
That's again why I say the whole video. Submit a video of your course, and then that helps a lot. But again, we've made one pick.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. I'm gonna pick Tobias.
Ooh.
These men are so tight up here at the top. Like the top five men all have this a time within 18 seconds of each other or so. So I mean, but I think Tobias is gearing up for this one.
Well, and he's former world champion.
Yeah.
Right? Like
Luke.
So here's the thing.
Luke is first world champion.
You've got polar opposites there. Luke is going to go out like a madman. And Tobias is going to bush it to the end. And you're going to see which one has the right strategy for the day.
It's like hard for me to say because Toby hasn't really raced that well this year.
No.
That he's out. But, I mean, he was third at World Championships. It's hard to count him out.
It is.
But he hasn't been racing so hot.
Yeah, it's not been his year. But he is also one of those guys that he always is like, oh, like he's not going to do it. And then all of a sudden does.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Like, maybe the year, he peaks very well.
Yeah, the year he won it, no one was picking him to win it. But okay, so it's me and all right. I'm picking like totally on emotion and like on riding the hot wave, and I'm going with Miriam Von Rohr. Yep. No, well, she has the fastest time here.
Yep. Go for it.
I knew you'd say that or something to that effect. But the reason being, obviously, she's on a hot streak. She has a good time in. And I do believe that without Meg, Linda and Vivian and Lauren in this race is going to go out slower for the women.
No, it's not.
It is. It's going to go slower than
who's going to take that race out. She took out in front of Lauren and Meg last in Vienna.
Who's that?
Jennifer, whatever her name is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's
Jennifer Nicholas. Yeah.
Miriam's going to pass her.
Okay.
I'm hoping I'm like I said, I'm going with emotion. I'm giving Miriam a resurgence here back to her peak. And I'm hope
in Stuttgart in like 2022.
Yeah, and I'm hoping for a short course so she doesn't have to run that much. Yeah. A short course and a long sled. And they're up in the wall balls to 150. They just didn't tell anyone. All right, but I get another pick.
Dave's magic picks.
Yeah, I get another magic pick here. And I'm going to go again. I'm going to take James Kelly.
Technically, I'm registered. You could pick me.
You could be like a wild card.
My flight for Kelowna is actually tomorrow.
Yeah. Who knows? Beth, you should just show up and say you're her. Just go.
Yeah.
They'd never know.
You'd never know.
Why? She doesn't qualify. She just show up as her.
Yeah, James Kelly. I think he's gonna be right up there, and he has a good shot. He's got run good times. He's run well all year. He just needs to get that, put it all together. And I think with some of the big dogs out of it, he's got a good shot. We'll see. I mean, he's the guy that was, again, not supposed to even be in last year's Worlds, and then what came six or seven, something like that.
Was he the one that took Tim's spot?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, last minute, just happened to be there, had about 15-minute warm up, and off you go.
I don't know why, but I always get him and Graham Halliday confused.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
They're nothing alike, but
I think they're both good at wall balls, right?
I think so. I think so. Graham's good at wall balls. All right, so Beth, you're up.
I'm up. I thought I had one more minute.
One more minute.
This,
What was there, a clock?
like, well, no, I thought Tara was going back. Yeah, this race is a lot of like really good runners here.
Don't take my pick, Bethany.
I don't know who your pick is, though. Gonna go with Alina.
Alina.
Alina will now.
She was one of my picks. That's okay. I
You
got
still have
my
all
other
the picks.
serve. How many picks are we doing?
Five.
Five.
Okay. All right, I'm
Wait.
taking. Oh.
You get two. Who are you
Who?
taking?
I'm taking Jezebel.
Jezebel.
Jezebel's hot right now. I'm telling you, she's running faster every race.
Well, she's absolutely probably run the most races of anyone out there.
And apparently, they like trashed me and Marcus in Vienna after already racing. So.
They
In
trashed
just,
you and Marcus.
they trashed us. Apparently, they beat us by 30 seconds in just the rower. Isn't that amazing?
Wow.
Thirty seconds on the rower. Were you
Yeah. And
guys asleep on the rower?
apparently so. I don't know. I don't know what happened.
Like that's you start to think about. I don't know if that's just a bad timing thing, obviously, but you start to think about that. 30 seconds on the rower, and in doubles, you're like
Me and
what?
Marcus were rowing under 150, so that means that they would have had to be rowing 130 low.
Yeah. Yeah, easy. Like, well, actually, you said 30 seconds, so like. We're getting down the 120s.
No, 15 seconds minus 150.
Oh, okay. Sorry. All right.
130. Like 149, 148.
That's
Wow.
still very fast. Like that's,
Yes.
yeah. I haven't seen anybody going that quick.
All right, my pick. Oof. All right, I'm going with John Wynn. Picking Wynn. Wynn for the win.
Now, he's been a bit off, though.
Got a chip on his shoulder right now.
Yeah. He's been a bit off. He hasn't really had a good race lately.
I think he's due, though.
I don't know. Seems sketchy to me.
Well, that's my pick.
I think actually I put him in a lot with James Kelly. I think he is due for a breakout performance because he has not looked great. And I do think with, like I said, with a lot of these guys, without having some of the big guns in the front of them, I think a lot of them are probably all have it in their mind, hey, I can actually win this.
Yeah. But even with the big guns out there, I like you said, I don't think they're gonna take out slow. Like I'm looking at this list and there's like some runners that are pretty aggressive. So
Think the men are going out fast. I think the women are going to go out slower. Not slow, but slower.
low, I think, well, yeah, I guess I'm looking at the women's list. I mean, the only person that I think would take it out like crazy is Jennifer. And then I think the rest of the field will like kind of sit.
And if she takes it out fast and goes alone, they'll run her down.
Yeah, because she's not great at the stations.
All right, Beth.
I'm gonna go with oh man, it's I'm trying to decide between two people. I'm gonna go with Kate Davey.
She's been consistent.
Yeah, I'm there's two people who are very consistent, and I'm trying to decide between two of them, and I'm gonna go with her.
She's like I said, she's been consistent. She's always kind of right there, just been outside that podium contention thing, which should put her in a good spot in this race. Okay, it's me.
Didn't her and somebody else just set the women's pro doubles record? Maybe Zara, her and Zara.
Zara, maybe, yeah.
Uh-uh.
You might be right. A lot of these times on here are from Stockholm.
I wonder why.
What's up with that, eh? All right, it's me. I got two picks here. Well, I guess I'll take the next highest guy on the board there with Geoffrey Vosine. Geoffrey. A cagey veteran, a powerhouse. Again, because I'm going on the course is going to be short. That's why Miriam's going to win. So Geoffrey will do well on the shorter course as well. It's all part of the master plan. And then, wow. Yeah, I'll go with Sika. Seka? Sika? I don't know how to say it.
Sika, Sika.
Seka. But I mean, yeah, I mean, she got a Stockholm time, but it is a good time. She's right up there with Elena. Ahead of Zara, who also had Stockholm times. So I think she's got a good shot. At least she'll get me some points. All right, Beth.
Back to me. Okay, another consistent racer then, Rebecca Nather. She is running well this year too.
You've already picked it, but she dropped out of DC after she did like a 7-minute sled push. You already picked her though, so
Yep, too late. She
too
got to
late.
watch. She
She
saw
got
it
one
on
of those
TV.
bad sleds.
She is strong though.
She is one of the most unique running forms ever. You can definitively pick her out when you're watching the run. I will leave it at unique.
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 All right, I'm going with Zara. She has the award for the best biceps too. So,
Really?
dude, she's jacked.
And the best name. I mean, Zara is a cool name.
Zara is a cool name.
She's been pretty consistent too.
She has been consistent.
Yeah, I did not know that she won the best bicep awards.
I mean, if I was gonna have biceps, I'd have her biceps.
So what's more impressive, her biceps or your quads?
Oof. I don't know. Maybe I'm partial to my quads. Did you see that Matt doesn't know how to count? He went 1, 2, 3, 5, 6.
Yeah, well. It's not surprising, I guess.
Yeah.
Details, details.
So do we have a dark horse pick? Should we do a dark horse pick?
Well, you
We
got
got
one
one
more.
more.
You got one more.
I got one more.
Yeah, so
Huh.
you pick four. You have Luke, Jezebel, John Wynn, and Zara.
Okay.
Tough calls, tough calls.
It's funny because I'm looking at like the results of for the men, and I'm like, Maastricht and Stockholm were both fast, but I'm like objectively trying to think of how fast they would be in comparison to Hanover, which I don't think was fast, or London was definitely not
No,
fast.
London's not fast. You're looking at Harry Thompson's in there from London.
Yeah, I know. Let's go with Harry. I'm gonna go with the British Harry.
There you go.
I feel like London's always a shit show. So if you can run 58:30 there, it's probably pretty solid.
Yeah,
Probably like a probably like sub 58 anywhere else.
it was definitively in traffic.
Yes,
It would have
yes.
been, he would have been elbowing his way through everybody on that thing. Pretty good, pretty good. But he's not going to do well for you. You're going to do terrible. Beth, you're up.
So I'm just gonna pick the last person left in the top four on both sides who no one has said, Jade.
Ooh.
And we'll see how this compares to the Dubai course.
I'm calling 106.
106 for Jay. What do you think the winning time will be?
For women?
Yeah.
It's non-grid style, right?
Yes, correct.
I'm going to say 103 mid takes it.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And the med and the men?
103. I'm just kidding. Probably like 56 mid.
Really? I think it's going to be slower. I think it's going to be slower. I mean, 58.
All right. Maybe.
I got a short run course that's going to be really slow. It makes no sense. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Just don't analyze it. All right. I got the last pick, and I'm going to go with Jennifer Nichols because you say she's going to run really fast.
I got a funny story.
She's going to go out fast.
Yeah, so that's what I mean. I got the beginning covered with her and the end covered with Miriam. That's how these things work, I'm pretty sure.
So then you're winning at the beginning, for sure.
I'm winning at the beginning, and then I'm going to have the fastest person at the end.
Mm-hmm. But they're not going to front, so then they're technically not fast. You will definitely have the fastest wall baller.
There you go.
Though and she did break Vienna.
Did she?
Yeah.
Was she confused?
One of the races she did break. I thought it was Vienna.
So in every High Rocks race she's taken, she is currently at one break.
Maybe. She probably has less breaks in her High Rocks career than me in one race. So I'm in no way throwing shade, but I'm pretty sure she's in Vienna.
Oh. I mean, it's bound to happen eventually. Everybody will have a slip here or there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway, so here we go. So Tara's got Luke, Jezebel, Jonwin, Zara, Harry, Bethany.
Man.
What's that?
Man, that's a good team.
It's a good team, yeah. And Beth with Toby, Alina, Kate, Rebecca Nather, and Jade. And I have Miriam, James Kelly, Joffrey Vozine, Sika, and Jennifer. Now, last time we did one of these, Beth won because I had an injury and Yancey had an injury. And Beth won despite the fact she didn't pick herself, which she should have, because then she would have won cleanly. She made
we were talking about Deca Worlds.
That was the Deca Worlds. But this one...
What does picking drafts have to do with you being injured?
He had an injury on his team of his draft.
Oh, okay.
Wasn't it? Didn't you have Vivian?
Yeah, I had Vivian. And Yancey had... Yancey had someone who pulled out too.
Rich.
Yancey had Rich. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who had me?
I think Beth took you with the second pick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tara.
Yeah. I had the third pick. I didn't get a chance to pick you.
Okay. That's but the only
Yancey look, the Yancey bypassed you, so he's the one to be holding
pick. Rylan.
No.
I don't remember.
No, I think he picked Rich.
Rich?
No, he picked Kent. He picked Kent. Kent was his first pick.
Okay.
Because I ended up with Rylan.
He had two puller outers then.
Yeah. I ended up with Rylan because Beth took Tara. And that's why I thought she was going to take Rylan and I was going to take you, but it didn't work out. Well, it did work out for Beth.
Yeah. Well, technically, Rylan got more points than me.
Yeah, well, the reason that we say Beth screwed up is because for her last pick, she took, who was it? I can't remember. He was only in the strong, but he did reasonably well in the strong, but that was his only event. But Beth actually outpointed him, and she didn't pick herself with her last pick. So lack of faith in herself.
Was it Marcus?
Who?
It was someone who was like a pretty much guaranteed podium in the strong.
But he didn't podium in the strong.
Yeah.
What is it? Marcus something. Wallace. Marcus Wallace.
It wasn't Marcus Wallace, but Marcus Wallace. I had Marcus Wallace.
He's a good athlete.
He's a nice guy.
He is a nice guy.
He's a good guy. He's good at, and he knows the game. He's pretty smart. But yeah, anyway, I'm still pissed that this is not getting streamed properly. I will forever say that it's a mistake, considering how hot HYROX is right now, that they do not capitalize on it.
Yes, but what are you gonna do? I'm sure somebody will have it out, just not an official stream. But I feel like for whatever reason, over in Europe, they have like worse internet.
What I'm hearing is that Rock's Life, so Greg, who normally does the commentary, if I'm hearing on his YouTube, they'll be doing some form
Like
of
Instagram Live?
no, I think actually on his YouTube, I think they said.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure
Cool.
they'll, if sure if you look on his Instagram, there'll be a link if, to wherever they do it. But yeah, I'm hearing they're doing something, so
Okay.
keep an eye out for them, and then hopefully when it gets to L to Anaheim, someone will do something similar. I don't know. No, maybe Tara will go there and do it.
No, my boyfriend's running Iron Man Chattanooga. That was another determining factor of me. I'm gonna go support him since he supports my races all the time. He only races like twice a year, so.
Do you have a sign you're going to sit on the sideline?
No, but I'll take lots of pictures because they charge Iron Man charges like a fucking ton to give you pictures after you pay like $600 for the race.
Wow.
I thought actually doing one for fun, but then when I realized they were like $600 to register, I was like,
What about doing like a try or a try sprint?
I've done a try.
Have you?
Yeah.
I've thought about that, but never did it.
It's kind of fun to do something like not that you're not going to win, but like you know that you're not really competing. You're just doing it for fun. I feel like I always try to do something like that once a year where I know, like, oh, I'm not like trying to compete. I'm just going to go do something like different.
So you should have done go ruck wrestling.
Oh, no. Well, I don't want somebody to like hurt me. Chris hurt me in Spartan Games wrestling.
Ugh.
She like threw me by my neck. Like my neck has never been the same.
I'm sure Spartan will reimburse you.
Yeah, they still haven't paid me from Worlds, so I'm not super hopeful.
Realistically, how long has it been since World? What, 4 months?
Yeah.
Yeah, 4 months. That would still be pretty fast by Spartan standard.
Yeah, so I mean it's weird because they made an invoice for it, but then they just didn't pay it. Usually they have an invoice and then they'll pay it right away, but this is the first time they've made an invoice and then they haven't paid it. So I don't know.
Well, I've been told that they're getting back on track, and we will see if that proves to be true.
Well, I'll give them till 6 months before I start really harassing them.
That's fair.
Yeah.
It's actually more than fair. That's, yeah. I think
Are
90
in so Amber told me there was, I don't know if this is like a thing yet, but there's supposed to be a DECA Canada in August.
Yeah, Amber and them are talking
It's a
about.
road show
Yeah.
where they said that they were going to do all the team events, and me and Amber are going to try to break all three world records in 1 weekend. Sorry, Bethany.
That's like, that's my record. Heather, come on, let's go. We got work to do.
So I'm gonna be in Canada for that weekend.
That'll be very cool. You'll enjoy it, and that's a great time to be up here. And that's going to be down like you can go see Niagara Falls, and it'll be a gorgeous area to visit.
Into Buffalo because it was like way cheaper.
Oh yeah. Yeah. We do that too. We cross the border and fly out of Buffalo because it's way cheaper.
Oh, really? So, what, do you just drive across like the border and you show them your passport and then they just let you go or something like that? Okay, cool.
Yeah, pretty much. It's not. It's a very simple border to cross as long as you're not stupid.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't look too terroristy. So, I don't know. Maybe they don't want to let Americans in because we cause so much ruckus.
I know I imported one. They're fine. All right. All right. I think we've taken up enough time. Tara, thank you very much. And I will say that I believe that this race would be a lot better if you were in it. So,
I mean, I could still fly tomorrow. Who knows?
all right. Wild card. I got Tara on my wild card pick.
Wild card.
Yep, there you go. You don't get one, just me.
Huh.
All right. Thanks for coming up, Beth. Wind us out.
Yeah, thanks so much, everyone, for listening, and all the best to everyone racing this weekend at Last Chance Qualifier. So we will see how things shake out.
Take care.